I wonder if you were, I'm going to place an advertisement in maybe Job Finder NI or a newspaper or whatever for a church pastor, what the job description might look like. I wonder what things would be involved there. Certainly probably a lot of things that you can't imagine. Aaron gets up to all sorts of things. He had an interesting job, and I'll not tell you all, was it in the men's toilets this week. You can ask him about it afterwards. Wouldn't have been in the job description, but he'll have to turn his hand to all manner of things. But it's easy enough to come up with a job description, a long list of things. But I wonder if you had to sum up the job of a pastor in one phrase, what would you say that it was? If you were to explain to someone, what is the job of a pastor in the church, I wonder what you'd say. Well, there's a good description we get from Paul. Good description from Paul in his little address to the elders at Ephesus. We looked at this map way back when we were looking at Acts. Paul was on his way back from way back to Jerusalem on what we sometimes call the third missionary journey, and he didn't go into Ephesus, but he stopped in Miletus. You can see it there. And he called the elders from Ephesus, that's about 30 miles away. He called the elders down because he wanted to speak to them. And he suspected, and it turned out to be right, that he would never see them again. And he wanted to give them a final message, final instruction about looking after the church. And we can read that message in Acts chapter 20. And that's what we're going to read now, and then just share together a few thoughts as we turn to God's Word. So if you have your Bible, you maybe want to look at Acts chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse 17 down to the end of the chapter. This is Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you day, night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship." Let's just pray together as we turn to God's word. Father, we thank you for the words of Paul, spoken to the elders in Ephesus and recorded for us by your Holy Spirit. We pray that same Holy Spirit will open our eyes and our hearts to hear your word, to understand it and to obey it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul addressed all of the elders here. He wasn't just speaking to, there wasn't a pastor as such. He spoke to the elders and the overseers in the church. So what he said is true for all the elders in our church today. It's true for all of us who serve in that capacity. But we want to think specifically about what Aaron, as one of the elders, he's now, as well as being assistant pastor, he's now one of the elders in our church, what he is committed to today. And really the essence of the job of a pastor or an elder is summed up by Paul in these words in verse 28. This is literally what we could sum up the words of a pastor, the job of a pastor. Be shepherds of the church of God. be shepherds of the church of God. That's what pastors are. They are shepherds of the church of God. That's literally what the word means, of course. That's what Aaron is now. The word pastor literally means a shepherd. And it's a huge responsibility. It's a big, big responsibility to be made a shepherd, to be made a pastor of God's church. Imagine Aaron had a mishap in his little Skoda. And a friend heard about it. A friend said, well, look, I'm going off for a couple of weeks' holiday. You can borrow my car until you get that sorted out. And he dropped him up the keys. And it turned out to be a Ferrari. And this person just bought a Ferrari. Aaron's a good friend, you see. Had a Ferrari, very expensive, very precious to him, loved his car, handed over the keys to Aaron. Now, you've seen Aaron's car. You know what it's like. Have you ever looked inside Aaron's car? And you know what it's like inside. He would probably be very nervous taking the keys of this Ferrari. He'd be very careful as he drove around Hollywood, very careful as he parked it up there in Abbey Ring, because it's expensive and it's precious and it's not his. It's not his. He's only looking after it for someone else. Well, there's a light show. There you can see the full extent of Aaron's car. That's all. No more about Aaron's car. But he'd be very nervous because that car is not his. It belongs to someone else and it's expensive and it costs a lot. Well, the church is God's. The flocks in the different congregations are God's, purchased at a great cost, very precious to God, because this is what Paul says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Or some of the translations say, be shepherds of the church of the Lord of Jesus, which he bought with his own blood. The church, being a pastor in the church is a very responsible task, because there's a great responsibility to look out for something which doesn't belong to us, doesn't belong to pastors, doesn't belong to the elders or the deacons in the church. The church belongs to God, and it was purchased with Jesus' blood. That's a big responsibility for each of us who's an elder or has a role of leadership in the church. And of course, the image of a shepherd is very powerful at the time, because in the hill country there of Judea, there were many shepherds, and the farming and sheep farming in particular was a very big industry indeed, and lots of people were involved in it. And people knew what it was to be a shepherd. People knew what the responsibilities of a shepherd were. And really, I just want to highlight Three responsibilities of a shepherd today, very simply. And the first was to feed the sheep. To feed the sheep. And the daily task of the shepherd was to ensure that the flock was fed. There wasn't the grass that we have out in the east. The shepherd would have to take the sheep and try and help them to find food every day. And the key role of the pastor is to ensure that the church is spiritually fed. It's true of the pastors and of the elders, but Aaron, taking on the role of pastor in the church, will have that as one of his key responsibilities. Paul, writing to Ephesians, the same church that he's visiting the elders of now, said that God appointed some. He gave all sorts of activities that people are appointed to, and all sorts of gifts are given, and he said some are appointed to be pastors and teachers, to lead and to teach, to feed. The main priority of the pastor is to teach the church. And Aaron's already shown himself to be a very capable teacher in all sorts of different contexts, to be able to open God's word and to make it live for us. And Aaron's got to learn to teach comprehensively. Verse 27 there, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. You see, we have to teach the whole of Scripture. Not just the popular bits, not just the easy bits. That's why here in Hollywood and in many churches, we tend to preach right through a book, because then you can't avoid the difficult passages. You have to deal with them and face them. It's not always an easy task, because the lessons are not always popular. They're not always easy. But that is what Aaron has committed himself to. Paul, writing to Timothy, another young man. Aaron is always reminding me how young he is and how old I am. Well, Paul was writing to another young man here, to Timothy, who was going to take on a lot of the work from him. And here's what he says. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not want to put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Aaron has got to take God's word and to teach it fully, to teach every aspect of it. It's common, back in school when I was teaching, it was very common to hear a pupil come in after an exam they hadn't done very well, and they are very often the parents say, oh, we weren't taught that. And you know very well that they were taught that, but that was always the thing. It was never there. They weren't taught that, but the syllabus. Well, we don't want anyone to pass through Hollywood and be able to say, "Well, I wasn't taught that. I didn't know that bit." And that's really primarily the job of Aaron and I, to try and make sure we teach the whole of God's word. To try and make it plain, to try and make it clear to all of us as we study week by week. And secondly, Aaron will have to preach courageously. Verse 20, Paul says there, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that will be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. We live in a very liberal, tolerant society, which has its good points, there's no doubt, but biblical teaching is often considered to be very narrow-minded, almost offensive. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said that the cross is offensive, the message of the cross is offensive. It was in his day, and it still is today to many people. But we can't dilute the gospel. The message of the gospel can't be diluted to make it more acceptable. And the pastor needs to graciously and gently but courageously teach the truth. Teach the truth that is in God's word. And that's what Aaron will have to do. No matter what popular opinion may think, no matter what people will think out in our society, whether it's about sexuality or abortion or moral issues or lifestyle or things where we seem to be going against the flow, Aaron will have to stand up for what God says in his truth. He'll have to preach courageously. And thirdly, he'll have to preach confidently. Not confident in himself or his ability or his skills that he's learned at Cornhill or that he's built up over the years, but confident in God's word. Confident in God's word. Again, Paul says there, verse 32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. To the word of his grace. To God's word. Aaron can be confident in God's word that as he teaches this week by week, this is God's very own word to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down by men, guided by the Holy Spirit over generations, but it's God's word to us. There are churches who sadly have lost their way because they've turned away from God's word. And they maybe teach nice philosophy and look at nice stories and poems and all sorts of things, but God's word isn't central. We've got to have confidence in God's word. And I know that Aaron, as a pastor, will teach confidently God's word and will know that this is the basis of what we believe. Not his ability as a teacher or any other pastor's ability, but what God's word says. He'll be confident in it. And God's word is essential. Paul says, writing to the Romans, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And we have Christ's words recorded for us in God's word. And again, Paul's word to Timothy, those very, very well-known words in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Aaron will teach God's word, and we'll teach it confidently because we believe that it's God's word to us. But he'll also preach and teach compassionately. Paul says, verse 19, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. And there in verse 31, remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Paul did have frustrations as he taught. We know that from his letters. He had times of difficulty, times of frustration, times when the people just didn't seem to get it and people disappointed him. And while he had to teach courageously and confidently, he taught with compassion. He realized that he was dealing with people who were sheep who could wander, as we all can, because he cared about the church. And Aaron will have to learn that compassion. We all do who lead in any role. We are all capable of letting one another down. And while Aaron will teach, he wants to teach with compassion, to get to know you and to love you and to care for you, to care for you in the way that God cares for you. Secondly, the pastor's called to protect the sheep. There were many predators out in the countryside where the sheep were in Judea, primarily wolves, of course, and the sheep were completely helpless against wolves. If wolves get in among the flock, the sheep had no chance at all. And the shepherds had to try and protect them. And Paul warns the elders to be on the lookout here. And this is a warning for all of us as elders and for Aaron as he takes on this role. He says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Verse 31, be on your guard, literally watch. The old authorized version translates that, wherefore watch ye. Be a watchman. Aaron is to be a watchman in the same way that the shepherd at night was to be a watchman for the sheep. God made Ezekiel in the Old Testament a watchman for Israel. He had to look out for them. He had to give them warning if enemies were coming. And God said to him, if you see enemies coming and you don't warn the people, then I'll hold you responsible for whatever may happen. And so a pastor has to be alert for danger and warn and protect the church against false teaching, against heresy, against ideas that deviate from God's word. And it's a big task, because we know that Satan is always keen to disrupt the church, always keen to get in and ruin what God is trying to do. And Aaron and the other leaders in the church have got to try and protect the sheep from those attacks from outside or even from inside. Has to be on the lookout to protect. And thirdly, has to be an example to the sheep. Now, the analogy falls down a little bit here. Real shepherds don't really set an example to the sheep, because shepherds are shepherds and sheep are sheep. Okay, but in the church's sense, a pastor is also a sheep. A pastor is also a sheep, given that responsibility, but equally fallible, prone to wander, open to the same temptations as the sheep under his care. Aaron is prone to exactly the same pressures and difficulties in the family, and we've been praying for him and Naomi earlier in our service. He's subject to just the same pressures that you are. Just because he stands up here on occasion or is leading us in one way or another doesn't make him immune to those at all. That's why Paul says here, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and the flock. He says to the elders, look out for yourselves as well and care for the flock. Pastors and elders face all the temptations that you face. And Aaron will need to take time to pray and to read and to look after his own spiritual health to be able to care for the church. And he's doing that while he and Naomi have three young children and all the pressures of family life that so many of you know about, and lots of time in here serving in different ways. And he's got to learn to be an example. To be an example, not just in his teaching, but in his lifestyle. Paul says to Timothy again, and he says, Aaron will like this because he does consider himself very young. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and purity. So there you are, Aaron. You see, you may be young, younger than some of us, but you have to set us an example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. That's a big call. That's a big demand. Speaking to Timothy, Paul goes on and says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. Hold to the doctrine, hold to sound teaching, and watch your life, because people will look to you. People will look to you to receive encouragement and receive example, and to follow an example that they need a model, if you like, that people need in their own Christian lives. It's not easy. It's not an easy task, and Aaron would make no secret of that. I'm sure if you asked Naomi that there are times when Aaron's life is not a great example to all of us. I know that if you ask Karen, I'd have my P45 in my pigeonhole on Monday morning. We're just as vulnerable and as weak as any of you, and Aaron needs to try with God's help to be an example to the flock, to you. This is what Peter says about the same matter. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's true for Aaron, it's true for each of us in any position of leadership, pastors, elders in the church. We have to try with God's help to be an example. And then secondly, and just very briefly, what about the responsibility of the sheep? Again, the illustration breaks down a bit, because real sheep don't really have much of a responsibility to the shepherd, because again, they're sheep, okay? But we are members of God's flock, and we have just promised to honour and support Aaron with our love and prayers, working together with him in our shared calling to witness to Christ in this place. As Aaron seeks to serve with us, we must support him in prayer. And not just Aaron, but all the elders, all those in positions of authority in the church. Not just him, but Naomi and the children. There'll be busyness, there'll be meetings to take, there'll be weekends away with the young people. There's all sorts of extra pressures that will be on Aaron that might not be on him if he's gone into some other job altogether. We have to try to make his job a little bit easier. And very briefly, in three ways, we have to do it by obeying him. Not obeying him because he's the pastor, because he's Aaron, because we've had the service. Obeying him as he teaches God's word to us. The writer to the Hebrews says this, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. So as Aaron teaches us, we have to obey what God says to us through him. And secondly, we have to respect him, to hold him in high esteem. And again, Paul writing to the Thessalonians says this, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you and who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love, because of their work. We have to try and love Aaron, to encourage him, to help him, and not to set him on a pedestal, but to respect the fact that he has given up the opportunity for another career to come and work amongst us. We want to hold him in highest regard in love. That's what Paul says. And we have to heed his warnings. We have to heed his warnings. But when Aaron points out something to us from God's word, we have to take that as God speaking to us. Going back to Ezekiel, when God spoke to Ezekiel and said, I'll hold you responsible if you don't give people the warnings which I give to you, to pass on to them. But equally he said, but if you pass on the warnings to the people and they don't heed you, then they will each be responsible for whatever happens to them. They will be responsible. The watchman won't be responsible. So we have got to obey what God says through his word, as Aaron opens it to us week by week, to respect Aaron for the job that he's doing, and to heed the warnings that God brings us through him. Now, as you know, sheep are notoriously stupid and stubborn. They're hard to shepherd. Have you ever seen that program? It's been on a long time ago now. One Man and His Dog, about how the shepherd would try to gather the sheep and herd them and so on. Very difficult. If you've ever been down in your car about the moorns and you see a sheep by the side of the road and you slow down really, really carefully, guarantee it'll wait until you're a metre away from it and jump out in front of you. Even though you're doing your best, sheep are like that. We were down in the moorns not terribly long ago, found a sheep with his head caught in barbed wire. They've been trying, no doubt, as sheep do, to find better grass on the other side of the barbed wire, and got itself tangled in the barbed wire. And we went to try and untangle it. Well, such a fight it put up. Presumably thought we were going to harm it or something. But sheep are hard to work with sometimes. And we have got to be good sheep, as good as we can be. Good sheep, as Aaron seeks to minister among us. There's that old hymn written by Robert Robinson when he was only 22, which makes Aaron even seem old. And it's "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And he writes these words, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." And we know we're all prone to wander. We're all prone, as shepherds, to go our own way. And while we're not sheep in the literal sense, so more can be expected of us. Sheep don't know they're wandering into danger, but at times we do. And we have to seek to make Aaron's job that bit easier by following what God says to us through him. And that's true of all of the pastors and elders. None of us is perfect. None of us can stand up and say, if only you were like me, this church would be a better place. But what we can say is, as we try to lead you in God's way, if you follow, then together we will go from here and seek to make Jesus known. We all have the responsibility to willingly follow the lead of our leaders as we commit ourselves to serving Jesus, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Jesus gave his life for us. We're going to reflect on that in just one moment as we come to the table. So as we welcome Aaron today, we want to pray that he'll have a great time of blessing, that he'll be a blessing to the church, that he'll be blessed as he serves among us, and that his family will be blessed. And we together want to commit ourselves, along with him, to making Jesus known in this area, because we are part of the flock which God has in his care, and he's given us the task of reaching out to others, that others may be called into his fold. Jesus said, other sheep I have as well, which are not of this fold, and we've got to go and call them in. We're going to sing again one more song together, and then we'll come to remember the Good Shepherd, the one who gave his life for us, as we all reflect again on Jesus' death for us and commit our ways to him again.